Now, one time, a few years ago, there was a Yid from England, a frum Yid, with a beard, with a hat. He was traveling on a plane, and he ordered a kosher meal. And they served him the kosher meal on the plane. But he wasn't hungry, he didn't feel like eating. And he noticed that in the row of seats where he was sitting was another Yid, an elderly Yid, an old man. And he looked for sure like he was a Yid. For sure he looked Jewish. He acted Jewish. When he talked to the stewardess, he sounded like he was Jewish, with an accent. I mean, you could just tell that this man came from the old country. He came from Europe, or he came from Russia, or Poland. But he wasn't wearing a yarmulke, he wasn't wearing a hat. He did not look frum. And when it came time to serve the meals, they serve kosher meals, if you ordered a kosher meal, and they serve the not kosher meals to the people on the plane that don't eat kosher. Like Goyim didn't eat kosher, or, you know, if there's some Yidden that don't know about kosher, they were eating the not kosher meals. And they were serving the treifa meals on the plane. And the stewardess came up to this man and she starts serving him a treifa meal, one of the regular airplane meals. And the Yid from England, he sees this and he felt bad. And he says to the Jewish man, he says, "Hey, you know, I have a kosher meal over here. I don't feel like eating it. Would you like to have it? Please, you could have a kosher meal." And the old man turned to him and he said, "I don't want a kosher meal. I don't keep kosher. I don't keep any mitzvahs. And I don't daven." He seemed like very upset. Like, Badavka, he does not want it. The Yid says, "But it's fine. I mean, I don't want it for myself. You can have it gladly." He says, "Look, a long time ago in the war, I had a son, my only son. He was lost in the war. He disappeared in the war. My only son was taken away from me, my young boy who I love so much. Why did that happen to me? Why did Hashem have to take away my only son? And it was such a sad thing that happened. From then on, I didn't want to do anything for Torah and mitzvahs. If Hashem took away my only son from me, and he never gave him back, then I was so hurt. From then on, I didn't keep any Torah and mitzvahs." And he said, "I don't want to hear about kosher. I don't want to hear about anything. Leave me alone. My only son was taken away from me in the war." Well, Kinalach, the man from England didn't want to start arguing or anything. He felt bad for the man. His son disappeared during the war. Which was over 40 years ago before that. Well, a few years went by, and the same Yid from England happened to be for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He was in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And he was davening in shul. All of a sudden, it was on Yom Kippur, it came time for Yizkor. Now, Yizkor means remembering. It's a time that anybody that, chas v'shalom, their parents passed away, or even one of their parents, if their mother or their father passed away, so they have a special tefillah to remember the neshama of their mother or their father, or of both of their parents. Now, anybody that still has the parents, they do not stay in shul for Yizkor. They go out of the shul, they leave, they go outside. And the rest of the shul says Yizkor. Whoever does not have to say it is standing outside for a while, and then when Yizkor is over, everybody comes back into the shul and they do Musaf. You might remember that you had to leave the shul for a while during Yom Kippur for Yizkor. Now, this Yid from England had both of his parents. He was a young man. And he went outside. And he was standing outside in the fresh air for a while. and he looks across the street and he sees an old man smoking a cigarette and walking back and forth in front of an apartment building across the street from the shul. On Yom Kippur, smoking a cigarette. And of course, this Yid felt very bad that this old man, on Yom Kippur, is smoking a cigarette out in the open, across the street from a shul, on Yom Kippur, the most halakha tug of the whole year. And the Yid from England went over to the old man across the street, and he said, "Rabbi Yid, it's Yom Kippur. Why are you smoking a cigarette on Yom Kippur? Especially right across from the shul. It's Yom Kippur. Please, don't smoke the cigarette. Wait till after Yom Kippur." And the old man turns around and he says, "You don't tell me what to do. I don't want to hear what I have to do. Hashem took away my only son during the war. And from then on, I felt so bad. I don't keep Torah mitzvahs. Why should Hashem take away my only little boy?" And all of a sudden, the Yid from England, he looks at the old man. He says, "Don't I recognize you? Didn't I see you somewhere before?" And the old man says, "And didn't I see you somewhere before? You look familiar. Hey, didn't we meet on a plane a few years ago? Hey, yeah." The old man says, "You told me to eat a kosher meal, and I wouldn't do it. And now you're telling me not to smoke on Yom Kippur, and I still won't do it. I guess you're the one that's telling me what to do, huh? Well, I'm still not doing it." The same two people met in Yerushalayim. The Yid from England, again, he feels very bad for the old man. And he says, "Look, you know, do you know why I'm standing out in front of the shul? Inside of the shul right now, they're saying Yizkor. If somebody lost a parent, or you lost your son was taken away from you during the war, so then to remember the neshama of the person that passed away, so they say a special tefillah called Yizkor." The old man says, "I know about Yizkor, I know. I don't go to shul, I told you. I'm upset I lost my only son." "Yeah, but look, at least one thing. Go to the shul and say Yizkor for your son. Do it for your son. Do it for your only son. You loved your son so much, do it for your son. Say the davening for your son. It should help the neshama in Gan Eden." And the man started to argue, "I don't want to go do anything." And the Yid from England felt bad, and he started asking back, "Please go, just say Yizkor. It takes 5 minutes, it takes 2 minutes, it's a little paragraph of davening." And they start, you know, talking and arguing, not in a not nice way, but you know, the Yid felt bad for the old man, that he lost his son, that he's going away from Hashem. "Please do something." Finally the old man says, "Okay, I'll go in to the shul and I'll say Yizkor for my son. At least that much I'll do. Fine, and then you'll leave me alone." And the Yid brought in the old man into the shul. And by this time, they had already finished Yizkor because it didn't take so long. And they were about to begin Musaf. And the Yid from England, he ran up to the Chazan and he says, "Look, before you start Musaf, could you please just say Yizkor over one more time, just really quick, for this old man that I brought in? Please. I mean, after all, he lost his only son during the war, and he hasn't done anything all these years. He hasn't done any mitzvahs, he hasn't learned any Torah. This is the first thing he's doing. Could you please say Yizkor one time for him?" And the Chazan says, "Okay, bring him up." The old man came up to the Chazan, and he said for this old man, he said Yizkor. Just quietly, you know, together. Now, during Yizkor, you have to mention the person's name. The person's name and their father's name. You mention the name of the person that passed away. So it came time in that part from Yizkor. So the Chazan says to the old man, "What was your son's name?" So he said, let's say it was Shmuel ben Chaim. "What? Shmuel ben Chaim? Huh, that's interesting. My name is Shmuel ben Chaim. It's the same name as me. That's interesting." And anyway, Kenelach, they started to talk a little bit, that it's interesting that your name is Shmuel ben Chaim, the same as my son. And do you know what they found out? The Chazan was the son of the old man who disappeared. It was exactly his son. The old man had lost his son. He didn't know what happened to him. He disappeared during the war. He thought that he got killed. But over the years, Kindalach, I mean, the son had disappeared and he went through the war, but he stayed alive. But he completely lost contact with his father, and the father lost contact with the son. And Hashem brought them in this way together, that they came together again. Last Yom Kippur in Yerushalayim, over 40 years, almost 50 years of being apart, they found each other in this way. Now there's a town, there's a city called Los Angeles. It's in California. And a few years ago, they started a kollel. A kollel is where married men learn Torah. They have families, but instead of going to a job every day and working, so they're working and their job is learning Torah. And somebody who takes care of the kollel is able to pay money for the families, for the men, that they should be able to sit and learn, and they take care of the families by giving them the money they need, like we learned by Yisachar and Zvulun. Remember, Yisachar learned Torah, and Zvulun worked, and they got money, and they gave money to Yisachar. Yisachar should be able to sit and learn. And this is what kollel is all about. A certain yid in Los Angeles invited 13 families to come out that they should be able to learn in kollel. And he found them all families to stay by until they got their own apartments or their own houses, because he wanted them to start learning right away. So he invited them out and he says, each family will stay by another family until your apartments and your houses are ready. Then you'll move into your apartments and your houses and you'll have your own place. But every day, you'll be able to go and learn a whole day in the kollel. He had a building for the kollel. And he wanted to start right away. And he had all the money ready to take care of all the families. He sent them all tickets to come on the plane. And they came. Most of them had never been to Los Angeles before. He got them a bus from the airport. And now they came from the airport to a shul. And they got off in the parking lot with all their suitcases and their kitties and the babies. And now they're waiting. And the families came, the Los Angeles families came, and each family picked up a kollel family, and they took them in their car or their station wagon or a friend's car, and they said, come with us, come with us to our house. And all of this was arranged, which family should take which other family. And one by one, the families were picked up. Until finally, there was one family left that was waiting for somebody to pick them up. And they were waiting and they were waiting and nobody was coming. And all of a sudden they saw, hey, look, either somebody forgot about us, or maybe the man that arranged the kollel, he forgot to get us a place because nobody's coming for us. Now, they didn't know where they were, except that they were in Los Angeles. They didn't have even a phone number of the man to call. They didn't know where they're going. It's a man and his wife and three kids with their suitcases. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Nobody's coming for us. And it's starting to get dark. And the man was standing there in the parking lot. He was near the street and he was just looking very worried. And his wife was very worried. And the kids were getting very worried. All of a sudden, a car is going by in the street, and the car stops, and a yid gets out of the car, a frum yid gets out of the car, and he says, hello, shalom aleichem. I see that you are with your family in this parking lot. You look very worried. Is anything wrong? Can I help you? You look like something is wrong. I could see in your face as I was driving by, like there's a problem over here. What's wrong? What can I do for you? And the kollel man says, you know, we got here and we have nobody to take care of us and there must be a mix-up and I don't know what to do with my family. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to call. And you know, we're just worried what's going to be, because all the other families were picked up. So the yid that pulled up in the car, he says, "You know what? Come over to my house. I see that you're a nice family. I, Baruch Hashem, have a nice big house. My wife happens now to be in Eretz Yisrael with the kids. They're visiting their Bubby and their Zaidi in Eretz Yisrael. Our house is empty except for me. So why don't you come and stay by me until you are arranging, you know, where you have to go. And I'll help you to find where you have to go." Well, Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. The family got into his car, and they went driving over to his house, which Baruch Hashem, which is a beautiful, nice house, a nice kosher house, and they stayed there. And over the days, of course, they found out the man in charge of the kollel, and there was a mix-up, and they had to find him another family. But this yid, in the meantime, says, "Look, until you find the apartment, let me be the family to take care of this family, because they're already by me. Don't worry about finding somebody else. And when they get an apartment or a house, they'll move in. But until then, they can be by me." And the family was very, very happy. And one night, the balabas, the yid who owned the house that the family was staying at, he wants to call his wife and his kids in Eretz Yisrael. And he calls them up on the phone, and he starts speaking to them, and he says, "Hey, you know what's going on over here? I have a whole family staying at the house, taking care of them." And his wife, of course, was very happy that her husband is doing that mitzvah. And she says, "By the way, what's the name of the family that's staying by you?" She just wanted to know the name. And he mentions the name, whatever the name was. All of a sudden, his wife, in Eretz Yisrael, she says, "What was the name again?" And again, he says the name of the family. She says, "You know, I've heard that name. Where did I hear that name? You know, I think my mother," that she was staying in her house in Eretz Yisrael, and it was the lady who lived in Los Angeles, her mother, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, "I think she used to mention that name. I forget how, but I remember hearing that name from my mother." Now, she asked her mother, of course, who was right there in the house, "Mom, do you know this name?" And she mentioned the name. And all of a sudden, her mother got very excited. "Of course I know that name." Now, let me tell you, Kinelach, what happened over here. The mother who lived in Eretz Yisrael, she says, "You know what that name is?" Now, here's the story. The mother of the lady who lived in Los Angeles, the lady who lived in Eretz Yisrael, when she was a little girl, that's when the big World War II happened. You heard about that big war? And of course, Kinelach, that was a very, very terrible time. And a lot of Kinelach had to run away for their lives. Now, this woman, together with a few other girls, had to run away for their lives, away from the Germans who were running after every Jew. And their parents took them way, way up in the mountains of Sweden to a little town, and they put them in an orphanage, a goyishe orphanage, a non-Jewish orphanage, where they just have, you know, kids without parents. And it wasn't a Jewish place. And they told the people over there, "We're Jews, and we have to run away for our lives. Please do something to take care of our kids. If we make it through the war, we'll come back and we'll pay you anything that we can to take care of our kids. And if we don't make it through the war, at least our kids will be alive over here. Because the Germans will not know that there's Jews over here. Because this is not a Jewish place. Please take care of our children." And the people in Sweden that took care of the orphanage, they said, "Okay, we'll do it." Because there were special people, Kinelach, non-Jews, Chassidei Umas Ha'Olam, righteous goyim that saved a lot of Jews. Special people that saved Jews that were not Jewish. And this place had such people. And there were girls, Kenalach, that stayed there through the war, and they were safe. Now the thing is, the people that took care of the orphanage were not Jewish. They took care of the girls, but they grew up together with the other girls. They were young girls. And of course they had no Yiddishkeit, they had no Shabbos or anything like that. So they were just like the other girls, but only they knew they were Jewish. And they missed their families, and they always wanted their parents to come back for them, but they didn't come back. And of course, they realized their parents must have been killed in the war, unfortunately. Now, there were many, many such girls in these kinds of places, far away in the mountains in different countries, that were hidden by the goyim. And there was nobody to come back and get them because the parents were killed. There was a certain man, a certain yid, who found out about so many kids that were just, you know, way up in these little towns in the mountains. And he said after the war, he says, Hashem, you helped me through the war. You saved my life. I want to do something to thank you. And what am I going to do? I'm going to make it my job to go and find every Jewish boy and girl that's way, way hidden somewhere that don't have a way to go back to be with the Jewish people. Because their parents will not come back for them. And there's nobody that will come back for them. So he got in a car, and he starts driving way up in the mountains, up in Sweden, and in Denmark, in Norway, in all these very far away countries. And he starts going mamish from door to door to any place that he thinks might have Jews there. And one by one, he got them out, and he took them to Eretz Yisrael, that they should be together with Yidden again. Now these were such girls, I'm sorry, he found these girls way up in the mountains in this place, and as soon as he walked in, you know, he had a long beard, a long coat, and as soon as he walked in to this place, all of a sudden the girls, mamish, they started to faint. They couldn't believe it. They didn't see a Yid in so many years. And they ran to him, please, please, we're Jews, we're Jewish girls. We haven't seen a Jew in years. He says, yes, please come with me. I'll take you to Eretz Israel. And you'll be together with Jewish people again. And he took them to Eretz Israel. Not only took them there, he took care of them. He made sure they had schools. He made sure they had places to live and food until they got married and they had families of their own. Now, Kinalach, this man was the Zaidi. Remember the family that was in the parking lot? That was lost and had no place to go? This Yid was their Zaidi. This Yid was the Zaidi of the Tati of that family. Now, Kinalach, this family was now staying in the house of the woman who her mother was saved by the Zaidi, remember? In other words, the bubby of the family that lived in Los Angeles, that they were having the family over, she was saved by the Zaidi of the man who had the family that was staying at her house. So the bubby in Eretz Yisrael, she got so excited. She said, the family that's staying at your house in Los Angeles, this is the grandson of the man that saved me from where I was in the mountains. She said, I always wanted to do something to say thank you back for him, that he took care of me, he gave me food, he saved me from that place that I was, even though there were nice people there, but I wasn't amongst Yidden. He took me to Eretz Israel, he spent his own money and took care of me. I always wanted to do something to thank him. And now I have his own grandson with his whole family in my house that I'm... Not in my house, in my daughter's house. And this family, the man is the grandchild of the man that saved me, that took care of me, that fed me, that took care of me and everything. So I'm able to take care of them. So of course we see Kinalach, the big Hashgacha Pratis and everything that happens from Hashem. Now it says in Hayom Yoyim Kinalach, which is a very halakha sefer, that a person could be walking down the street and the sidewalk, the stones of the sidewalk or the cement of the sidewalk could actually be saying to the person, what are you walking on me for? I should be walking on you. You have no right to walk on me. Now, this is not just a made-up thing, but it's a very, very special thing, like we just learned that everything has a life. Now, Kinalach, the stones of the sidewalk, or the sidewalk, you know, it's made out of concrete, it's made out of stones, rocks. They have a certain life, they have a certain feeling. And if they could talk, if you could hear it, this is what you would hear. Because they're saying like this, we are created to be stones. We are letting people walk on top of us. We're a sidewalk. We're doing our job. We're serving Hashem. That's what we're created to do. Now, the person who's walking on top of us, let's just see if he's doing what he should be doing or not. Now, you know what a person is created to do? Okay, a person is created to serve Hashem. Okay? It says in the Torah a few things. One thing it says, Ani nivreisi l'shamesh eskoini. I was created to serve Hashem. Or it might say a little bit different, Ani loy nivreisi ela l'shamesh eskoini. I wasn't created except only to serve Hashem. And it also says, Adam la'amal yivaleit. A person is created to work. You know what kind of work? Hashem's work. A person is supposed to go down the street thinking Torah. Now let's say the person is going down the street and in his head he's thinking Torah. So then the stones look up and they say, ah, it's a very big pleasure the person is walking on top of me because the person is doing what he should be doing and I'm doing what I should be doing. A person is higher than me, so he can walk on my head. He could walk on the sidewalk, no problem. It's a pleasure. I'm able to help that person go where he's going. Because if there's no sidewalk there, the person would just fall down through the hole. So the sidewalk is doing his job, and the person is doing his job. But let's say the sidewalk is being a sidewalk, and the person is not thinking any teda. He's just thinking dvarim betalim, just, you know, pusta zachen. His head is full of nothingness, gornished. He's not thinking what he should be thinking. Then the person is not doing what they should be doing. And the sidewalk is doing what it should be doing. So who is really higher, the person or the sidewalk? The sidewalk is really higher. The sidewalk is really closer to Hashem because it's doing what Hashem wants and the person is not. So the sidewalk says, you don't have any right to walk on my head. I shall walk on your head instead. Now, it's just not a made-up thing. Everything has a neshama, everything has a life. And if you could hear it, that's what you would hear. Now, it says that when Mashiach comes, in the beams of the house, like on the ceiling, there's actually wood that is holding up the ceiling, like big pieces of wood across. And if you look at the wood, it's like they have like holes that look like eyes. It's like in the wood. If you ever saw in wood, it's like, you know, it's not just straight, it's like a design, looks like an eye. These eyes are going to tell Hashem what they saw in your house. It's like as if the beams are looking down from the ceiling and the eyes of the wood are looking at you and saying what they saw in your house. They're going to tell Hashem what they saw in your house. Now, a person could say, ah, what is this? The wood is going to be able to talk? The eyes of the wood could see? How could the wood talk? Is it a made-up thing? No, the Torah says such a thing. Now, first of all, we can understand if everything has a life, then after Mashiach comes, all of the words that we said in the house and all of the things that we did somehow went into these beams, the beams saw it, and it's going to give back to Hashem whatever it saw and whatever it heard. And a little bit more we can understand that now we have machines, right? You see this tape right here? Without a machine, okay, you can't hear anything. But inside of this tape are all kinds of words. Or if you have a videotape, inside of the tape are all kinds of pictures. All you need is the right machine. All you need is the right machine, and you can see it.